Welcome to Walking in Faith, featuring interviews and reviews that help you rediscover the Catholic faith in our culture. And now here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning and welcome to Walking in Faith. We have three interviews for you coming up this morning. First off, we speak with Generation Life. They are having an upcoming beach outreach in June, which reaches all of those seniors heading out to the shore for that infamous senior week. And they're looking for volunteers. And following that, we speak with Lisa Cutter. She's written a book called Dating Detox. This is a 40-day guide to figuring out what's going wrong or right in the relationships that you're having as a single person. And then finally, we round out our interviews with a brief conversation with Chuck Webster, here to talk about the Flame of Love Lenten conference coming up at the end of this month. So we'll bring you those interviews right now. Good morning. This morning, we're joined by Caitlin Diadamo and Jacinta from Generation Life. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us. It's good to be back.
As we sit here in the midst of snow, it's great to be talking about the summer and beach outreach. Tell our listeners a little bit about beach outreach. First of all, tell us who Generation Life is.
Sure. So Generation Life is a movement of young people committed to building a culture of life by spreading the pro-life and chastity messages to other young people. We are a 17-year-old organization. Our home base is in Philadelphia, and we are a group of young people who travel up and down the East Coast, and we speak about life, love, chastity, starting over, dating, relationships, and everything in between. In the classrooms, we've been as far north as Boston. I was in Boston in November, and that was really great. And then we just got back from Virginia, a mini speaking tour last week. So we are making tracks all over. And we speak in Philadelphia. That's primarily our home base, is Philadelphia. So that's pretty much what Generation Life is and what we do.
And that's great. So many people I know have had these talks, either even in the middle school up to high school. It's wonderful to have you as a resource here in Philadelphia. Tell us a little bit about beach outreach. Now, this happens every year, and it's traditionally during senior week for high school kids.
Yes. So beach outreach is the third week of June, and Generation Life has been doing this for years. So basically, this is during senior week, where the Philadelphia seniors from the Catholic high schools in Philadelphia go down to the Jersey Shore, and they celebrate their their graduation. And a lot of times they're probably partying down the shore, and that's where we step in. And we get a group of young people, college students and high school seniors, along with a lot of volunteers, and we go down to the Jersey Shore, and we hand out these red I'm Worth Waiting For stickers that have been around since I don't know, but a long time. And that's kind of our segue into the conversation when we hit the beach and we talk to people and just encounter them, the young people and the teens. And a lot of times we are encountering people that we have previously spoken in their classrooms, and they'll be like, oh, I remember this speaker, I remember that speaker. So they're familiar with who we are, and it's really great to be able to speak to them about love and just kind of meet them where they're at.
For a lot of the kids, this is the first time they're away from home for the first time, and not under the restraints of their parents, and it's sort of like the precursor to college for them. A lot of them get thrown at stuff really fast, a lot of drinking and a lot of socializing that maybe they may regret later, but in the moment they're just trying to keep up. Mm-hmm. Speak to that a little bit about how you reach out to those kids who are trying to stay with their peers, but like in a toxic culture where it's really hard to resist what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Typically, when we're encountering the students and the teenagers, every topic is a little bit different. So every group of students or teenagers that you're going up to, you're never really sure what the conversation is going to look like, especially when you're going up to them and asking them, we're just curious, do you believe in real love? Do you believe in true love? What is love? And then we do get into those conversations about the culture and cultural expectations. And I know for myself, as a senior in high school, that's what my friends and I did. We went to the Jersey Shore in Wildwood, and so now I'm on the other side of it, and I get to bring that experience into the teenagers that I speak with, and I think that really resonates with them. And I'm able to have those conversations sometimes, not always, about is this really fulfilling? Do you really feel when you wake up from a party and you're hungover and you are looking or like asking your friends what happened? Like, is this really fun for you? Do you really feel satisfied? And so you do get to have those conversations every now and then. And a lot of the times it's questions that you're asking, and really the teenagers make the answers, not us. We're just asking the questions, kind of getting to the heart of it. But normally we're getting into real love, and sometimes that can lead to different conversations depending on who you're with and who's in your group.
Mm-hmm. And we did last year, I don't remember exactly who I was with, but we came across a group of teens who smelled like alcohol and they were partying and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And there was one guy in their whole group, one little kid, probably little Timmy, I don't know, but he was not drinking, and they were like, oh my gosh, he was talking about chastity last night. So there's this, you mentioned like, how do you stay strong and in the midst of all of these decisions and the peer pressure, but there's this one kid who was a witness to all of his friends, and we were kind of there as a reinforcer for him for that one little time. So that was really neat for him. But I couldn't imagine being put in that situation, because I know for myself, you know, no man is an island, and whenever you're just not going to be happy if you're surrounded by the opposite of what you're trying to live out. It's just not something, an ideal situation to be in for anybody. So kudos to that kid for, you know, being strong and not caving into peer pressure, but I hope that he surrounds himself with other people who are trying to live out those virtues. Otherwise, he's just going to be miserable. But it's good that he's a witness to those people.
Absolutely.
But I hope he has a support elsewhere, too.
So people are looking for real love. I'm sure that when you ask that question, they're going to say, of course, I'm looking for real love. Maybe the girls more than the guys, but the girls see things emotionally, guys see things physically, I think. Is there a difference, do you encounter a difference when you do your beach outreach between the men and the women there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In my group, we went up to a young man, and he was working down there, and he was with his two friends, and we told him who we were and what we were doing, and we said, basically, we're just curious, do you believe in true love? And right off the bat, he just shook his head, absolutely not. And I said, could you tell me why that is? And he was very honest, and he said, look, I come from a divorced family, and my parents were divorced at a very early age. I really don't think true love exists. Like, it's just not for me. It could be for other people, but I just don't think it's for me. And he was very honest about it, and his friends really didn't say too much. And I met, and on the flip side, going up to the girls love to talk about this. And some of the girls even remember us from going into the schools, which is really nice. And they'll say, oh, I remember this talk and it stuck with me and I'm totally on board with this. And I remember I went up to one group of girls and we had a really great conversation, and they were with their guy friends. And afterwards, they said, can you go and talk to these boys now? Because these boys need to hear it. And we did. So you definitely, I from my experiences, I definitely saw a difference. But like Jacinta said, with that one guy, I had a similar situation where I went up to a group of guys and it was the same thing. They're like, oh, you know, you need to talk to this guy. And they sent one of their friends over, and he's like, look, I agree with you, but my friends don't, and they just don't see it, and that's not where they're at right now. They're just into the drinking, into the partying. He's like, I just kind of do what I can. And so you do see this difference, but especially with the girls, they're usually on board with it.
Right. Yeah, like I came up to a group of guys and girls that are from a Philadelphia high school, and they had been drinking. And I had Kristalina Everett's Pure Womanhood book out. And they remembered having Generation Life in their classroom. And so they were familiar with the organization and the things that we do. And they remember one of the speakers, too. So I pulled out the dump him list. And one girl was like, what was that? What is that? And then, like, before you know it, there were, like, three other girls surrounding me. And they were like, I want a copy of that book. Like, I want the dump him list. So their hearts are hungering for it. And they're hungering for the truth. So definitely with like the differences between the guys and girls, I would say some of the guys I talked to were open to, like, I met some high schoolers from another Malvern Prep, and they seem pretty docile and receptive to the message. So I did meet some men. It just varies. You don't know what you're walking up to. It's like you have no idea. Mm-hmm. So we're just there to plant the seeds, and it is encouraging when you do see people who, like those two young high schoolers, one of them happened to have a girlfriend, but he's like, yeah, I'm going to wait and save myself for marriage. That's impactful on me, mm-hmm. and that gives me hope as a speaker and as an educator, that there are young people who want to be good. Mm-hmm. So they give me hope, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the pressure. Are girls and guys really under the pressure to keep up with their peers in terms of what's going on during senior week? And are they thinking ahead, or are they just living in the moment?
I have heard of that pressure. We were at a high school not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and we did a Q&A, and the girls wrote down their questions. And I had several girls ask me, this is in relation to what you're asking, I had several girls ask me on flashcards, what if I want to be chaste and my friends make fun of me? What will I say to my friends when I tell them that I want to practice chastity? What if I don't have any friends after I do this? How do I get my friends to stop persuading me to have sex? So we are seeing this, that not only one is there pressure from the culture, but there's pressure from each other.
Within. And that's a small Catholic school too, so that's surprising.
Well, with the teenagers, they're very present-centered, and so they're not really thinking too much about the future and what we have noticed, and that what seems to be pretty impactful when we're giving presentations based off their reactions and based off the feedback that we receive is when we, like Jacinta said earlier, we plant the seed and we try to get them to be future-oriented, thinking, I know this is where you're at right now, and these high school walls, this is your life right now, but you're going to go on, you're going to graduate. The person that you're dating right now probably is not going to be the person that you are going to marry, and the choices that we make affect us in the long run. And I think when we start planting those seeds, then the wheels really start to turn mm-hmm. for them, and it's not so, because we never want to sound preachy. Mm-hmm. And when we give them these concrete examples, like think about, you know, maybe this guy in a couple of years, or think about this girl in a couple of years. Have you guys thought about your relationship in the future, what that's going to be like at college, and what about your academics, your hobbies? And then this really starts to plant the seed for them, and for the guys and for the girls.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Yeah, having those concrete examples, we try and give them real life examples of just going beyond the four walls in your high school and then finding your bridesmaids before you find your groom. The guy will come later to tell them, like, find those solid relationships now. Mm. Because once you have that foundation, you're going to be set for life. And to follow your heart, too. You don't want to be wrapped up in a relationship and then not have any friends. And then he breaks up with you and you're just all alone. Like, that's not healthy. Mm. So to remind them that, you know, God has a plan for them, whether it's whatever vocation they're going to be in. But right now, just try and be lighthearted about love. And that's easier said than done, because I know back in high school, I was boy crazy myself. So, but it can be done.
Yeah.
And to be a witness to them, like, hey, we're living this out too. Yeah. We're young adults and we're living this virtue out. We're striving for virtue, and that speaks a lot to them too, because they're like, okay, I'm not alone in this, like, it can be done.
That's interesting.
And they're not weird.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you're their peers to some extent really must be very, very persuasive. Well, you can't do it alone. I know that Gen Life is great, but you don't have enough people to fan out across the senior week areas. So what do you do? How do you get people to assist you in this effort?
We get a lot of our friends that are volunteers just from the area.
So if someone's listening now, and do you go through a qualifying process, or is it somebody who has to really believe the message, or how does that work?
It helps to be living the message out. It helps to believe it and to be living it out. We get a lot of college students from Immaculata, Temple, the local colleges. That's where we recruit our people to spend a week with us down the shore, and they're immersed in the message, and they are formed themselves, and they're strong in their faith. And these are people that are already passionate about chastity, and mm-hmm. they want to do something about it, and they want to build up a culture of life. So we've recruited people from colleges. We've recruited people from just being in the Catholic culture, Camp Veritas. We know a lot of mm-hmm. we're interconnected in that culture too, up in New York. So we've recruited a lot of people from there who are passionate about chastity. And somebody from Corazon, Peru, joined us last year, and they do chastity missions and stuff like that. So people who we are recruiting are people who are the young men and women who are hungry to share this message, and they themselves have encountered Christ in a way and have their own story about how maybe they haven't been perfect in the past, and that's why they're so passionate, and they're like, hey, you can start over. You don't have to live this way. Like, you can stop. You can go to confession, and you can begin again. Mm-hmm. And that's really the crux of the message that we're sharing, because that's where our hope lies, is that it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, but all that matters is the steps that you take from here, and hopefully planting that seed, because a lot of people haven't heard that before. There's this lie that if you've messed up, then that's it, and then just keep going down that path. Like, that's the lie that's in the culture, mm-hmm. that there's not hope to start over, but you can. Mm-hmm. And that's the message that we're trying to bring to the shore, to these young people.
It's a wonderful message too, the idea that you can always start over. You don't have to stay where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't define you. Yes. Your past doesn't define you.
Now, is there training? What would you do? Like, if someone was interested and wanted to maybe volunteer, would they get in touch with you, and then would there be training?
Yes, so they can email us, they can go to our website, www.generationlife.org, and then we also have www.generationlife.org/beach-outreach, and we do provide training as far as how to dialogue with people, and we'll break up into small groups, and a lot of times people are concerned if they're, you're going up to strangers, so that's not natural to some people. So we want everybody who volunteers with us to feel equipped to be able to go out, and we'll be in groups, and there's a whole training process that we go through, do's and don'ts of chastity apologetics, what to say, what not to say, and we'll go through the nitty gritty, all of the scenarios. And most of us have done, this is not our first rodeo, so we've done it before. So we will provide the training and equip each individual that volunteers with us. And most people that have volunteered with us feel comfortable and confident after the training to go out to the shore. And they really have fun with it, because it's God and the Holy Spirit who puts us in these situations and provides the scenario. And I think that people for the first time have a really special time going out there to see what God is doing. And most people are like, most of the volunteers are surprised at how receptive people are. Mm. So, yeah.
I think they look up to you. I mean, I think, you know, you see a college-age person and they're ready to listen to you. I think they think they're looking for that sort of mentoring that goes on. So I think you've got it a really good plan in terms of having that peer relationship. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Generation Life, Kate and Jacinta, and the Beach Outreach this year is June 12th through the 16th, which is the senior week, and this is something you've been doing for quite some time. Tell us a little bit about one of the many experiences you've had encountering people. I mean, I'm sure you not only talk about chastity, but modesty too, right?
At times, yes. If it comes up, like Caitlin said earlier, every conversation is different. I've definitely come up to some girls who were not dressed modestly, but talked to them, just honestly trying to meet people where they are at, and witnessing whenever I can. I know for myself and Caitlin, I can only speak for myself, but I know I was involved in the party scene my first year of college, and then after high school I was involved in the party scene. So really getting a gauge on who you're talking to and meeting them where you're at. So there's this a few girls that I came across, and they were asking me questions, and I gave them stickers, and I just tried to let them know, like, you can start over, and just sharing my own story with them, and you could just see, like, the light go off in their eyes, like, whoa, well, if she's got a past, and she hadn't been perfect, always, she hadn't been living this Christian Catholic life, you know, but look at her now, she's out here and she's talking about chastity, and they see that and they're like, there's something to that.
What changed it for you?
For me, obviously, growing up Catholic, so I always knew the truth, but I guess I wasn't completely sold on the truth and just kind of wanting to do my own thing and go with the flow of the crowd and what everybody else was doing and what I thought would make me happy. But what really changed it, I attribute it to, and this is the 100-year anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, I attribute it to the Blessed Mother and praying the rosary every day when I was away at the Art Institute of Portland in Oregon. That's what I attribute it to, because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm on my own. I'm going to pray this rosary every day. That was my comfort. And she brought me to the faith, was able to show me I was settling in my relationships with my friends, and I was settling in the guy that I was dating at the time. So she showed me that was painful to see, because when you're, it's a slow fade away from the truth. You don't, it doesn't happen overnight. And whenever you're in it, eventually you become desensitized to the fact that you're so far away. So God was really gentle with me and like, whoa, this is how far you've come. And it was very, probably the hardest thing I've ever done was turning my life over to God, just because of how far off the path I strayed. But I attribute it to Our Lady. She's awesome.
And isn't that funny that you just had this idea to pray the rosary?
Yeah.
And it was just that little entrance into that spiritual life that really turned things around.
Yeah.
I think our faith has to be relational. I think that you either have to have a relationship with our Blessed Mother or with Jesus to really live the faith. I mean, I think it has to be in this relationship that you trust that allows you to see the things that you may want to change or the things that you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just talking about rules, it doesn't really work.
Yeah, it is relational. Yeah, definitely.
How about you, Kate? What do you have you seen in your years of beach outreach?
I have only, last year was my first year doing beach outreach, so I didn't know what to expect. And I was actually surprised that we had so many volunteers. And I think one of the reasons is we don't really have to sell beach outreach. It sells itself in the fact that, first of all, it's a free week at the beach with people who are like-minded, on fire with their faith, so you automatically have this solid connection with these people. And it's the truth. And I think whether it's from someone who has maybe been, has some hurts from the past that they've grown from, that they get to relate this to other people, or whether this is just something that they're just been, always been passionate about, you get to bring that with you, bring that zeal and that vigor with you. I really enjoyed it. I had different conversations with just about everyone that I met. And what I like also is that you're in teams, so that when you're encountering someone or a group of people, then you have different insights from your team members, which is great. Because if there's one thing I learned, well, one, it's no one wants to be preached at, no matter how old you are, especially teenagers, and that especially with our chastity presentations, it's very similar that when we're bringing, whether we're in the classroom or we're on the beach or the boardwalk, when we're talking about this virtue and we're talking about love, we always incorporate stories, whether it be personal stories or stories that we've heard. And this really, really resonates with the teenagers, because it's like, oh, okay, it's not just some random person coming up to me telling me like a Bible thumper. This is a real person. They have real stories. And it, I guess it adds to your credibility too. Mm-hmm. And then they take you seriously and then they want to know more. And this is a really nice way to start the conversation. And I think that's one of the things that has been so helpful, is that we're not saying, well, in the Bible it says this, and that's why we're out here.
That turns people off immediately.
Right.
I like what, you might not remember this, but I remember, I like what you said last year. You asked some of the girls if they were dating somebody, whether or not, if a guy would not want to sleep with them, if they would be willing to stay chaste. Do you remember asking girls that?
I do, yeah. Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. And most of them said yes, they would remain chaste. If the guy they were dating wasn't pressuring them to have sex, they would gladly live out chastity.
Yeah. Wow.
So that just speaks volumes.
It's just,
to
it's
the
on our
ache.
Heart.
Yeah. The ache that's on our hearts. We don't want to do that, but again, Jason and Kristalina Kristalina always says that girls will give the sex for the sake of getting the love, and guys will give the love for the sake of getting sex. Mm. But it can go both ways. Yeah. It's not one or the other.
So well, neither way. It's just it's interesting. Objectification.
We're looking
what
for
you're
love.
Talking about, right? You're talking about you're wanting something that's not the best for the other person. It's just to fulfill something that you need, like in a relationship need. It's like to have this relationship or to have the boyfriend or the girlfriend or to have the physical pleasure of whatever you're doing with this person. So, I mean, that's a big part of your message, objectification, isn't it? I think it's something that until we had JP2's theology of the body, many of us didn't think about.
Right. And a lot of these, especially the young women, it's the attention that they're seeking. I don't think these girls really want to be sleeping with their boyfriends, but that they're getting attention this way, and that feels really good to them. Mm-hmm. And so even when we talk about people sending, like, guys asking for inappropriate pictures, and a lot of the girls, they think this is very normal, this is commonplace, and it's not until we really delve into that and say, okay, so not only is this guy now you're competing with another girl for this guy for pictures, but you're not competing for his love. You're competing for his lust. Mm-hmm. And it's like this never occurred to them. And I had one girl ask me about dressing in modestly. She said, well, what if I want to dress in modestly just for my own sake, just because I like to dress this way? And I went on to say, you know, the way that we dress, we teach people how to treat us, and Jason Everett talks about this, our role model, that there's a study and they show a picture of a guy, they show these men a picture of a woman who's scantily clad and she's not wearing a lot of clothing, and the men react to it, and they used words such as I touch, I feel, I use. Then they showed another picture of a woman who was dressed modestly. She touches, she feels, she uses, she walks. And so they've referred to her in third person. And I share this with the girls, and their eyes light up, and you can hear a pin drop. Mm. And I just, you know, go into about touching on modesty, that we teach people how to treat us, and that the way we dress sends a message to ourselves. And I show a picture of Cosmopolitan magazine, which we know always makes women feel super empowered and adequate, and I'm kidding. And I show a picture, and it's a very immodest woman on the cover, and I say, do you think a guy is looking past at this magazine and saying, I wonder what her family's like, I wonder what her friends are like, I wonder what she likes to do on the weekend, what her hobbies are? And the girls just start laughing because they know that absolutely not. And so again, using those examples, it really, really gets to the heart of the matter, is that, ladies, I know that the attention is nice, but what kind of attention do you want? Mm-hmm. Because first and foremost, JC is going to be the first one to feel that. Mm-hmm. And one time I said that, and I pointed to the cross, and they were like, oh, I thought you were talking about a guy that was going to come into the room. And I'm like, no, Jesus Christ, he's the number one. He is your number one.
Well, that brings up a good point, because you went, Caitlin, you went to World Youth Day.
Yes.
And while girls don't do that the same way as guys do, I mean, I think girls, in a giggly, kind of superficial manner, just look at the physicality of a guy. And I thought it was wonderful when we had Father Chris Walsh with us, and a bunch of the girls were, like, falling in love with the waiter, not even knowing who this guy was, right? It's just the look alone.
Yeah.
And what he made them do was go up and introduce themselves to this guy. And he said, I always do this because I want girls to know this is not just a look. It's a person.
Yes.
And, you know, once you start talking to this person, you may feel like this is, like, the least likely person that you'd ever want to date.
Yes.
But girls just, you know, oh, giggly, giggly, this guy is really cute.
Right.
So there's a superficiality on a girl's part, too.
Absolutely. It goes both ways.
Yeah, yeah. And it's often disappointing, you know, because
right.
you can't fall in love with a look long term, right?
Mm-mm. You want character. Character will last forever. Looks
and
will
fade. And
shared
interests and likes and all that.
Yes.
Yeah. Again, let's give out the website for those who were interested in possibly volunteering for this beach outreach in June during Senior Week.
Sure. So it's www.generationlife.org/beach-outreach.
And anything else new for Gen Life that we should promote while we're here?
We, for any 8th grade teachers that are listening, we have 8th grade Chastity Days at Cardinal O'Hara on April 19th and 8th grade Chastity Days at Archbishop Ryan on April 21st. So those are going to be our days for our 2-hour-long multimedia presentation with skits, testimonies, stories, fun, interaction, music. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's powerful to see other groups from across the Archdiocese see other kids receive this message and
so
have fun together.
Another 8th grade can come to this, either of these two events. The teacher just needs to coordinate it with.
Yes.
Okay. So if you are a parent and you can recommend this to your 8th grade teacher that
right.
they can bring their kids these days. Why don't you say those days again?
So April 19th at Cardinal O'Hara for all of you near Chester County or Delaware County, and then April 21st at Archbishop Ryan for everybody in the Philadelphia area.
Great. All right, well, we've been speaking with Caitlin and Jacinta from Generation Life. You can find them at generationlife.org. And if you want to do the beach outreach, it's /beach-outreach. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you
thank
for having
you,
us. Appreciate it.
And we'll be back right after the station identification. You are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County.
We would understand. You are the rock of salvation, the only foundation, Lord of all. You are our hope never failing, a mighty fortress.
Good morning. This morning we're joined by Lisa Cotter. She is the co-author of a new book called Dating Detox, 40 Days of Perfecting Love in an Imperfect World. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
So Dating Detox, that sounds as if the current culture, there's something intrinsically bad or harmful. Talk a little bit about why you wrote this book.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting when we give talks, my husband and I both give talks to youth, young adults, singles, and we ask them who thinks we live in a toxic dating culture, and all of them raise their hand. So they all kind of know that there's something going on with our dating culture that isn't quite right, something that's a little bit toxic about it. And so we wanted to write the book really to address that that's going on. You know, oftentimes people will go on these retreats or they'll go to these conferences and they'll be really excited about changing the way that they approach dating. And they go home and they're enthused for a little while, but then a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months later, it's just so difficult and so hard, and they don't know how to do it practically. So what we wanted to do was write a book that was focused on that practical side of it. How do you practically move away from this toxic dating culture to living that freedom to love and be loved that God has designed and that He wants for our life? And so it's a step-by-step process book. Very, very practical, very hands-on, that helps you get from wanting it to living it. That's how we kind of explain it.
You know, I also think that it's different for men and women. Men tend to be able to see visually and objectify visually, where women are emotional. There's the emotional virtue that women perhaps need to practice. Do you see that, too?
I definitely do, yeah. I mean, in fact, we have a whole so the book is divided into weeks, and so we have a whole week on the physical passions, or, you know, the kind of the physical side of the relationship. And then we have a whole week devoted just to the emotions, looking at how do the emotions play into this? How do they come into dating? How can we allow them to get twisted where they're no longer leading us towards love, but they're leading us towards youth? And it's a very interesting thing that we've definitely seen over the years with the college students that we work with.
Yeah, and I think, too, that when you're emotionally involved in a relationship that, you know, just for an example, a college woman it wants to have a relationship with a guy to have a relationship, that's objectifying someone as well. And just to say that you're in this relationship and you're overlooking all the flaws that are in a relationship. And I've seen this in certain cases with people who just are so determined to be in a relationship that they will sort of overlook anything. And even when the guy's saying, I'm not ready for a relationship, and they're like, yeah, well, you're going to change, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. there's like this void in our lives, and I think especially women really feel it, and we try to fill that void with a guy, and we question why it's not working. But ultimately, and we actually even talk about this in the book, it's our Lord that has to fill that void first and foremost. He has to be the one to find the right place in our heart before we can get anything else to find its proper place. And I think that ends up causing a lot of strife for women because they don't understand. They're like, oh, I got the boyfriend. Why am I still a mess? Like, why do I still feel empty? Why do I still feel lonely? And it temporarily can kind of relieve that spot, that ache. And we do a great job of kind of justifying or, you know, saying, oh, yeah, well, they have this quality that I'm looking for, even if they just have, you know, just a little, like, sliver of it shown in their life. And we're like, no, they're wonderful. They're like St. Joseph, you know. We kind of blow out of proportion right. Just because we definitely want that relationship.
Well, Lisa, tell us a little bit about you and your husband. It's co-written by your husband, Kevin. And tell us a little bit about your background, why you were uniquely qualified to write something about this.
We have been with FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, which is a missionary organization that works on college campuses for over a decade now. So we've been working with the students on campus and the missionaries who are recent college grads. And through that, we've been able to have a ton of conversations, see a lot of life lived in these single years, and really been blessed just to walk alongside people as they go through this process of transformation, especially when it comes to growth and virtue and their deepening of their faith and relationship with Jesus. And so through that, we were able to kind of see that trend of needing a book like this, needing something that's going to help people to practically make that jump from, you know, living one way to living a new way.
And I love that it's written in a 40-day format, that you actually have each day something to read. And there's a challenge. Talk a little bit about your detox challenges on each of the various days.
Yes. At the end of each day, we pose these challenges that are very practical, very hands-on, very tangible. So at the beginning of the day, we typically start each day with a story that we collected about 30 or so stories before we even began writing. We did these over 30 hour-long face-to-face interviews with people about their experiences in the toxic dating culture and how they were able to get out of it. And then we kind of give some catechetics. But then we really want to drive it home. We really want to help people build new habits and build new just ways in which they process things, a way in which they view things. And so we give these practical challenges as a way to solidify what it is that they read about and to apply it to their life right then and there. So they're not really reflection questions, not that that's bad, but for the most part, they're tangible things you're doing. Maybe you're writing a list. Maybe you're going to confession or getting an accountability partner, or you're coming up with one way that you can practice virtue. A way of sacrificing with your virtues. You can practice for when it comes time in a relationship to practice sacrificing and virtue. So it's really practical, which is really what we wanted to go after. And it's 40 days because we know the science has taught us that it takes about 30 days minimum to change a habit or to recreate the way that you do things. And so we wanted it to be long enough. We added, you know, we did 40, which is biblical as well. But we kind of knew chastity's hard, so we thought 10 extra days will be good for everybody.
Lisa, just address one thing that's current in our culture, and that is the way that women view themselves and the way men view women. In the days of old, you'd listen and watch these movies where men would chase a woman and put her on a pedestal, and she would really be kind of the hard to get type of portrayal you'd see in the movies from years ago. Now we have movies like 50 Shades where it's almost natural, or it's presented as natural, for a woman to be physically abused. Talk a little bit about how this toxic culture is viewing women and how women are falling into the trap of this sense of not only soft pornography, but the sense of self-abuse.
Yeah, we definitely have lowered our standards as women in terms of what we expect out of guys and what we expect out of relationships. And guys, if they only have to jump so high, not all men, but, it's kind of a natural tendency just to only do what you have to do. If you don't have to work hard for it, well, then great. And I think that over time, we've really allowed ourselves to kind of sell ourselves short as women and just said, well, I guess you can't reach any higher. So I guess we'll have to come down to where you're at if we want to feel or experience love. And so sadly, what's happened is that we've kind of allowed ourselves and put ourselves in this position by lowering those standards for men. And then because we have this place in our heart that wants to feel love, that wants to feel like we matter, like we're important, which we equate with having a relationship sometimes, then we just allow that to be something that men don't have to work hard for anymore. And then we put ourselves in a position where we think, well, we must not be worth it then. We must not have that great of a value or a dignity. And this must be, you know, all that I'm really worth is this, you know, guy who is not going to fight for me, who's not going to strive to will my good, who's not going to desire to uphold my dignity. That must be, you know, that must be the level of my worth and value. And so we put ourselves in this position that really lowers our self-esteem, lowers our standards, all for the sake of just trying to desperately grasp at love.
We're talking about the book Dating Detox. We're speaking with Lisa Cotter. She is the co-author with her husband, Kevin. It is 40 Days of Perfecting Love in an Imperfect World. And this is a great book to do as a study guide, too. Like, you can have a group of young adults or anybody that in your dorm you could pull together and do this. The format lends itself to that, correct?
Absolutely, yes. We wanted it to be something that, well, at the very beginning, we asked them actually to get an accountability partner, somebody who's going to keep them accountable to finishing the book. And so we put it into a weekly format. That way you could get together with either your accountability partner, or if you're doing it as a whole group, once a week you could get together and discuss that week's theme, because each week is themed, and go through those questions just to help you process. Also, so you can know you're not the only one who's feeling this way or struggling in that way, or, you know, needs some encouragement in that area. So it's a really powerful thing to do together as a group.
Lisa, you are from Denver. This is put out by the Augustine Institute. Is this going to be available on the Formed program at some point?
I don't know if it will be necessarily available like in a digital format on Formed. You can currently get it in Kindle, but it will eventually this summer go into the bulk kiosk pricing. So it will be a part of those lighthouse kiosks in the back of churches. It'll be available there at a super discounted rate, because we just wanted to get it out there, and we wanted it to be available to our students on campuses at a price that wouldn't shy them away from doing it.
Can people do bulk orders for someone if they want to just donate them?
That's a question I'm not quite sure about.
Okay.
You have to ask the Augustine Institute and Lighthouse Catholic Media. I know for sure if you are a kiosk owner, if you have a kiosk at your parish, you can. But I'm not sure if it's just the general public, if you can place an order or not.
Well, that's good enough. Most of our parishes have Lighthouse Catholic Books and Media, and you'd go through your representative and you say it's going to be available later this summer. You can get it now online, mm-hmm. correct? It's available anywhere, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's being co-published, too, by Ignatius Press. You can also get it from Ignatius.com. So there's a lot of avenues to try to get it out there.
And a great gift for graduation, college or
yes.
high school. Yes.
Yeah, it would be a great thing to do before you go to college. That way you kind of have a vision for what that scene's going to be like and have some firm foundation, and just kind of, even if you've, you know, already learned or heard that great chastity talk, this really puts it into practice. Because when you get to college, it's really different. It can be very tempting. You're no longer home. You're in a whole new pattern of habits and routines. And so you want to lay those foundations properly.
And Lisa, let's close with a prayer. Let's pray for all those people who are seeking a relationship grounded and based in that sacramental theology of self-gift, and that God would send them either peace or comfort or a suitable friend to pursue this life with. So can we just offer a prayer as we close?
That'd be wonderful. Yes, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Lord, we just pray for all of those who are in there, who are in the single state right now. We just ask that you give them the grace and the courage that they need to live authentic love, to live well, to raise that bar, to know their worth and their value. Lord, we pray that this culture can go through a radical transformation, that we can return to knowing that we are your sons and daughters, and knowing that we have this great gift of your love and that we have the freedom to love authentically. Lord, we just pray for all those who are struggling right now, especially with love and relationships, that you just give them the courage to take that next best step to draw closer to you and to ultimately find their satisfaction in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa, so much. Again, the book is called Dating Detox, available online and later this year through Lighthouse Catholic Books and Media and also through Augustine Institute. Thank you so much for your time, Lisa.
Thank you for having me on.
And we'll be back right after the station identification. You are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County.
We would understand. You are the rock of salvation, the only foundation.
Good morning. This morning we're speaking with Chuck Webster. He's here to talk about the Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary Lenten Retreat. Welcome, Chuck.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
First of all, Chuck, tell us, what is the Flame of Love?
The Flame of Love emanates from Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. We've all seen pictures and statues where this takes place. The flame itself is her divine Son, Jesus. The Flame of Love represents the in Our Lady's words, the greatest grace that God the Father has granted to mankind since the Word became flesh. And it's here for us now. All we have to do is ask for it, for the times in which we live, which I think is evident to everyone that we're in very bad shape worldwide. And Our Lady wants to spread this flame by saying the ejaculatory prayer, spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all humanity. And she also asks that we insert this into the Hail Mary. Now, some people have a problem with that, and I can understand it. But it's inserted into the second half of the Hail Mary, which is really petition to heaven. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. And then that's where we put the petition. And it sounds like this: Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So we haven't really changed the prayer. Our Lady is just asking us to insert it, her petition, into the Hail Mary. Now, Our Lady has been coming to us for years and years and years and years, decades, asking to pray the Rosary. And if we're going to pray the Rosary, we're to meditate on the mysteries, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, of the glory of Christ. And we can't be saying ejaculatory prayers while we're meditating, so that's why Our Lady asked us to put it into the Hail Mary. And the more people that say this ejaculatory prayer in or out of the Hail Mary, especially in the Rosary, which is the second most powerful prayer in the world, it's going to blind Satan and help to save souls. And that's really what Mary is all about. She's the mother of everyone. She wants everyone to go to heaven. And let's face it, that's why her Son took flesh, became a teacher, a healer, and died horribly for us. And it was all about saving souls.
Two questions, Chuck. Where did this revelation take place?
It took place in Hungary between 1961 and 1982. It's completely church approved. Our own Archbishop has given an imprimatur to the book that we distribute. And the book is free, by the way. Anyone can obtain a book by going to the website, flameoflove.us. It's also been approved, and it is practiced by Cardinal Erdo, E-R-D-O, in Europe. And he is the, well, we have days, we have the USCCB for the bishops, and he's in charge of the European bishops. And he practices and he promotes this Flame of Love devotion.
And why? The second question is, why don't we just say Jesus or God instead of the Flame of Love?
Well, this is the way Our Lady asked for it. And, you know, like the Hail Mary. We got the Hail Mary from the angel Gabriel and from Our Lady's cousin Elizabeth, the first part of the Hail Mary. And rather than change scripture, we just say it the way it was given to us and ordained by the church. And now Our Lady comes to us, and if she said, jump over thumbtacks, then that's probably what we should do if we want her help, because she has our best interests at heart, and she wants to save all of her children.
Let's talk about this upcoming retreat.
Okay.
Your guest speaker is Monsignor John Essef.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about him.
Well, he was ordained in 1953 in the Diocese of Scranton. 6 years later, Padre Pio became his spiritual director. And years after that, for a time, he became the spiritual director of Mother Teresa. And he still gives retreats to her sisters worldwide. He's also an exorcist, and he conducts the Pope Leo XIII school to train diocesan exorcists. And he will bless all sacramentals when he's there giving us his talk. Holy priest. I met him in December of 2013 up in Scranton at a retreat that I attended.
He's going to be speaking on Mary, the Mother of God, and also Mary, the Spouse of the Holy Spirit. She's got a very Trinitarian role.
Yes.
That's a very important message for our time?
Most assuredly. All of our graces come from God, but through Mary. She is our mediatrix. And she, again, we are all her children, no matter what size we are or faith we are. She wants to save all of us. She's not only the Mother of God and the Spouse of the Holy Spirit, but the daughter of the of God the Father, the special daughter of God the Father. It's her job to bring us to her Son. Many people have heard or read St. Louis de Montfort's book where it says the shortest, quickest, surest way to Jesus is through his mother. And that's what she's trying to do, take us all to her divine Son. He's just going to talk about Mary as the Mother of God and also the Spouse of the Holy Spirit and the importance of getting close to her and trying to get other people close to her. Prayer and sacrifice are especially important, and we're in the time of Lent when that's called for.
Let's talk about specifics of this retreat. It's going to take place on Saturday, March 25th, starting, of course, with Holy Mass. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, at 8:30, we're going to celebrate the Mass. At 9:30, Monsignor Essef will give his first talk entitled Mary, the Mother of God. At 11 o'clock, we will have a holy hour. At noon, we will have lunch. Everyone should bring their own lunch. At 1 p.m., Monsignor will speak again about Mary, the Spouse of the Holy Spirit. And then at 2:15, we'll have closing benediction.
And this is taking place at Annunciation BVM Church, 401 Brookline Boulevard in Havertown. And that is, again, Saturday, March 25th, the Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary Lenten Retreat.
Right.
And again, immersed in the sacraments, you can have Mass as well as Eucharistic Adoration. Anything I've left out, Chuck, or anything you want to add?
No, except that I'm sure that if anyone needed to go to confession, Monsignor Essef would certainly not say no.
Wonderful. Well, again, we look forward to having you back on when your next conferences come up. But again, this is a great way to make something beautiful of the season of Lent in terms of praying for others and to become more aware of Mary's role in all of our lives. Thank you so much, Chuck Webster, for joining us.